It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Friday, September 28th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And later today, we're going to check out some new releases and featuring two albums that have been highly anticipated and for the fans a very long time coming, plus two that are just super fun remakes.
But first, we're going to dig a little bit into the Music Modernization Act. Instead of going through headlines today, we thought we would really dig a little bit more into this act that is moving forward, has passed the Senate, has passed the House of Representatives. There seems to be something in Washington that Democrats and Republicans can agree on. It's this act that revolutionizes copyright law. It's now sitting on President Trump's desk, waiting for him to attend to it at some point in the probably near future. And this is something that not just politicians, but labels, streaming services, artists have all got behind. Here's a sample of testimony that Smokey Robinson gave to Congress this spring.
If you went to the grocery store or the supermarket and the owner was in there and you said, okay, I'm going to get groceries from you for the next 10 years, but I'm not going to pay you. It's the same thing. That when people create a business to make a living for themselves, they should be compensated for that. And the music business is no different than that.
This is very significant, but also very complicated. So to understand the significance of this legislation, I talked to an entertainment lawyer.
My name is Ken Abdo. I'm a partner at the law firm of Fox Rothschild in the Minneapolis office and the chair of its entertainment department.
How would you briefly describe what the act is and why it's important to so many people?
This is a good effort at trying to address the inescapable reality that law chases technology. And we are now solidly in a digital music era where streamed music is now outstripping physical sales of music and downloads together. So it's a whole new world. We are out of the horse and buggy era, and we are solidly into a new technology world with respect to music distribution.
So where does the law come in with respect to how artists get paid for streaming music? It's not just that the record label or the artist cut a deal, say, with Spotify, and that's it. That's how you get paid. Where does the law play into this?
There is the songwriting world, which is a separate copyright, and that's called compositions. And then there's the recording world, which is the recorded version of a composition. So sometimes you have an artist that writes a song and records it, but often not. So there's two interests at play, the sound recording copyright and the composition copyright. This is an area where there's been great discrepancy on what the consumer pays for either. And now this act, the Music Modernization Act, is trying to create a more equitable treatment between those two copyrights.
So you have a million different streaming services out there with all sorts of different arrangements and how consumers select the music, you know, what order they hear it in. And so a law can help standardize that payment and simplify and make it more fair for everyone. Does that seem right?
Yes, and believe it or not, it's a regulated industry. This is not free market entirely. There are governmental and quasi-governmental bodies that actually preside over exactly what is charged for especially the digital broadcast of music, streamed music in particular, by great media companies like Spotify and Apple and so forth.
So fundamentally, artists, the artists you represent and music artists generally are happy about this legislation because it means they're going to get paid more fairly and more. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. It's a happy day for music creators. Both, well, look, it's what makes this law, to get back to your observation, unusually accepted by the Congress. There's something in it for everybody, really. The writers are going to get paid more money. The performers, especially the classic artists, are going to get paid more money for the streaming of their sound recordings that predated a music sound recording copyright, which is 1972, which is a whole other lecture about music history. But bottom line, now the legacy artists are going to get paid for their performances on on digital outlets, the companies are not going to be subject to infringement lawsuits because there's a way to blanket license all the music so they won't be sued. And there were some big lawsuits against Spotify and others that, you know, were nasty. So that's gone, and that's a big savings for them. That's good.
Well, thank you, Ken. Thanks for coming in and talking about this.
I love talking about music. Thank you.
If you want to hear my full conversation with Ken, just head over to musicnews@thecurrent.org.
It's Friday. That means it's time to check out some new releases.
The legendary disco band led by Nile Rodgers, Chic, have released their first new album since 1992. It's appropriately called It's About Time. It's been in the works for 4 years, and there are an all-star lineup of guests joining Nile Rodgers on this album. We're talking Lady Gaga, we're talking Elton John, pop star Hailee Steinfeld, among many others, are on this album that doesn't really try for a classic Chic sound. You can't escape that totally unique sound of Nile Rodgers' guitar, and why would you want to? But this sounds less like old school Chic than what you heard when Nile Rodgers collaborated with Daft Punk on Get Lucky. Now, that song also had a killer hook, actually more than one killer hook. Do the new songs have that kind of hook? Well, probably not. But if you've been waiting for more Nile Rodgers, you will be happy today. Here's a song featuring Lady Gaga, I Want Your Love.
Yeah, so the theme today, quite obvious, is you've been waiting a long time. You've been patient. And in the hip-hop world, the artist that everybody's been waiting for, longing for, is the Lil Wayne album. Yeah, they've been trying to get their hands on the Carter 5 since it was announced in 2012 that it was coming out. But this is the fifth installment of Lil Wayne's chart-topping Grammy-winning series that started back in 2004. It was pushed back, or I guess the brakes were pumped, because of these legal battles with Cash Money Records and their head, Birdman. Snoop Dogg is featured on this, Kendrick Lamar, Nicki Minaj, and even Lil Wayne's mom and his daughter are featured on some of the tracks. These songs get really personal. They are painful and ultimately, like the album itself coming out, really triumphant. The Carter 5 follows the heartbreak of a life in the last couple of years. A real standout for me was the last track on the album, Let It All Work Out, where Lil Wayne discusses his failed suicide attempt at 12 years old.
Cher has been seemingly invigorated by her co-starring role in this past summer's Mamma Mia sequel, the perfectly titled Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And she is going all in with the Swedish pop legends. She has just released an entire album of ABBA covers. And what's more, she's going on tour to support it. Cher doing ABBA? No one's sad about it. The productions aren't exactly radical reinventions of ABBA, but putting Cher's voice on these songs gives them more of, I would say, a forceful kick than ABBA's more feathery original vocals did. For example, here's her take on the title track, Dancing Queen.
So I am an avid Robin lover. I love her songs. I love the music videos. I have memorized her dances. I'm a huge fan of her spirit. So about a year ago, when I heard her voice singing an unfamiliar song during the closing credits of an episode of Girls, I freaked out. I texted some friends. We all freaked out together. New Robin after 7 years. But then nothing really. We heard this little tease of a song that we were calling Honey, and no one knew what was going to happen. Then all of a sudden, May of this year, Robin was at the Red Bull Music Festival, and she played a very different sounding version of Honey. She kind of explained it and said, yeah, you know, it wasn't like it wasn't a good version, but I thought maybe I could change it, make it more of what I wanted it to be. And there were all these thoughts of, well, this means that there's possibly a new album coming, more new music. Flash forward to now, when Robin does have this new album. It's going to be called Honey. We have the first taste of it, and it is, in fact, that song. Again, a very different version from the one in the closing credits of Girls. Robin said that this is the longest she's ever worked on a single track. So here you go. After so long waiting, finally, Robin and Honey.
That's today's music news. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Jade is also our producer. You can hear all this new music over at thecurrent.org, as well as the full version of that interview with Ken Abdo. And let us know what you think about the podcast. Head over to thecurrent.org/music news. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back on Monday with more music news headlines. This is your name. It's like a